Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Okay, so hi, I'm Julie. So today's message is called Doors, and we were given cards, and on the back of that card was the definition of a door: a movable, usually solid barrier for opening and closing an entranceway, a means of approach or access. But the metaphorical door is always an opportunity. Now, I grew up in a life that provided a multitude of opportunities. Today, I'm here to talk to you about a few very significant doors in my life.
Love this girl.
The first significant door was called relationship. I had a friend named Courtney since I was about 2 years old. Now, Courtney was lucky enough to be raised in a Christian home. At a young age, Courtney had a heart for me and a heart for people to know God and heaven. This relationship became a revolving door throughout my life. Behind door number one, just like Alice in Wonderland, was another door, door number two. This door was called healing. When I was 4 years old, I was diagnosed with a syndrome called Guillain-Barré. This is an autoimmune disorder where your body attacks your nerves and paralyzes you. It starts in your toes and moves up your body. While I was in the hospital, I passed away because my lungs had become paralyzed. I passed away and went to heaven. In heaven, I saw three shiny men who told me I would walk again the next day.
Okay, that was pretty cool right there.
It is pretty cool.
I just want you to see law, pause and think about that. Okay.
Door number two, healing, was faithful and true. I did walk like Bambi, but the road to recovery had begun. This door led me to many doors: athletics, a life without pain from nerve damage, and a life without living in a wheelchair. Thankfully, this door was ripped off its hinges because I knew that this door was always open. Door number three was called salvation. At age six, my friend Courtney told me about Jesus for the first time. This door was a door I knew existed, but it lay dormant until many years later. After door number three, I spent 10 years staring at closed doors, crying behind locked doors, and pounding on doors I didn't have authority to open. Thankfully, these were 10 short years.
She's good.
Well, I just asked God, what do you want me to say? And he gave me the words, so it seemed appropriate. The fourth significant door was called acceptance. And when I was all grown up and very mature, at age 17, I said yes to going to the University of Windsor, and I opened the door of varsity soccer and a sociology criminology degree. I was living in a new town in a residence full of strangers. At this time, my life was consumed with the thought of door number one, relationship. But at this time, the only relationship I really, really wanted was a relationship with God. It got so bad that I couldn't focus on anything else. And door number four led me to door number five, and I found a church, which led me to door number six, which is Jesus. There is this saying that says, when one door closes, another door opens. But I'm here to tell you that that saying doesn't have to be true in your life. I say this with confidence, because when you walk through the Jesus door, it's like walking into a large room. So I want everyone to picture this. So you walk into this large room, and on the right-hand side is a wall. In front of you is a wall, and on the left-hand side is a wall. And on every wall, there are several door frames. Not doors, but entranceways. And each entranceway has a plaque above it. And these plaques read, forgiveness, healing, purpose, acceptance, community, love, relationship, fullness, joy, success, opportunity, wealth, hope, the more door, and my favorite door, the ask anything door. These doors are always open and you always have access. Like some of you, I have opened many of the wrong doors and even jumped out a few windows.
I fell out a window once. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. But the Jesus door is the best door you're ever, 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 ever going to open. Mm-hmm. So to look at the original definition, Jesus, movable, yes, when it means moving mountains. Solid, yes, if you mean this kind of solid. And yeah, let's all do it. Jesus is solid. Forever closing, he is always approachable and always accessible. There are things that block this door, the Jesus door, that try to deny you access. Some things are things that are put in the way, and some things we just like to look at, and we put there ourselves. But Jesus is patient and waiting behind all that distraction. And the cool thing about the Jesus door is it's the only door that will actually help you get through that door. So I encourage you all to walk through the metaphorical door of opportunity into the room of endless possibility. Mm-hmm. Never look back, and the only closed door is the one you get to close behind you.
Amen.
The Jesus door makes every door easy, and I promise you won't regret it. The proof is in my life and many people in this room. And the Jesus door is the best decision you'll ever make in your life.
Amen. Woo! Let's give it up for Julie. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I think you'd go on the road with that little testimony there. That was really great. Amen. That was really, really good, Julie. And God's really real in her life. Amen. It means a lot to her. Well, Pastor Carl, are you going to come up and talk to us? Stay there for a minute. It off, sorry. I just have to say, I was just really enjoying worship today. Carly and the team, they did a really great job.
Yeah, I was really ministered to, huh?
I just love that line, you know, it as well, through the seasons of my soul.
It is.
I just love that God understands the seasons of our soul.
He does.
Amen?
You can trust him every single way.
You can trust him.
You know that? You know, Julie did a testimony for us that we actually have on our website. If you go to our video at the bottom or go to our Vimeo site, she did a brilliant testimony that's got a little more detail than that. And I mean, if Julie, I can't believe like Julie's willing to put that right out there on the web and not be afraid and fearless to say, this is my testimony. This is my story. And Kevin's got one there too. Joshua Fairweather has one there as well. And you know, they're really, really good. You can actually tag them and send them to a friend. If you got somebody who needed a testimony, you know, oh, you can, Pastor? Oh, my goodness.
Maybe we should have a Sunday where you just talk about social media and
show you
how we all do it.
But that's really, really great. I mean, I know these people, and I've heard their testimonies and been a part of their journey, and yet I'm always just reduced to tears when I hear their stories. So we got some great stories there. We want to put more stories on, because how many know stories are powerful?
They're powerful.
People got some amazing stories in this house, just incredible things. So we want to get some more on there. But I'm grateful for, you know, Stephen and Julie, you know, just considering
Stephen
the whole door aspects. Well, Stephen talked about doors and that door, and Julie really attacked the door thing. And so I'm grateful for that, because how many went through a few doors just to get here already?
Hello.
I was thinking about that this morning when I got up. I got up and I went into the ensuite bathroom door, and then I went into the shower door, and I came out of that door. And you go through all these doors with purpose, you know. I had to go in and get myself spruced up and cleaned up.
Others.
And yeah, I go through the door. Anyway, but I came out, then I went out the bedroom door, downstairs, through the garage door opened, and I went out there, got in the car door, went in, and then came in the door here, and I was going, man, I'm doing a lot of door stuff, you know. And in your life, there's a lot of doors. There's a lot of really incredible doors. And in your life, you get a lot of door stuff going on. How many ever heard your mom and dad say, don't slam the door? You ever heard that? Don't slam the door. I remember we were in Barbados, and Pastor Phil's car, we had a car with really heavy doors, so we're used to when we closed our door, you had to give it a shove, and his car was very light door, so every time he got out, bam, and the door would slam, and he would kind of cringe. But by the end of the week, he finally said, please stop slamming my doors. So we're like, your doors are just, we're just not, anyways, you know. And you ever had, you know, your kids run in and lock the door and you want to get at them? Unlock that door right now. Anybody? Just me? Usually Carly, bless her heart. But, you know, and then somebody's in there and you need to get in, please unlock the door. You know, so a lot of door stuff. You got any door stuff, honey?
Yeah, I was thinking about a couple doors, you know, because you asked me to think about a couple doors.
I did ask you to think about doors.
But I was thinking about one particular door, 17 Edgewater Boulevard in Peterborough, Ontario. And it was on a cul-de-sac in Little Lake. And it was a wartime house. And it was a house my mom grew up in and my grandpa and grandma lived in until the day they died. And, you know, that door never changed. They never once changed that door. It was broken down a few times and messed up, and the lock was all messed up. But that door remained the same all through my life, not just physically, but in my own life, kind of it meant a lot to me, because that was the one consistent door I always went through. In our life, because of circumstances, we moved several times. But my grandpa and grandma's house never moved. They never moved locations. And so I knew that I could go into that house, and it had a plethora of memories for me. I can remember my grandfather making baked bread every morning for my grandma. I can remember my grandpa cursing up a storm when something didn't go right downstairs. I can remember Pinky the cat giving birth beside me. I can remember even in my grandma's old age walking in and she'd go, "Hello, dear." And she'd be sitting in the same chair
same
that
chair.
She sat in for probably
right
40 years
door.
After her stroke. Yeah. So I remember 17 Edgewater Boulevard, Peterborough, Ontario, because it was a one constant in my life that I could always rely on. And I always knew that there was a home there. Even when I moved away, I went there.
Do you remember 292 Malamute Crescent? Remember that door?
Yes.
That was a good door. Do you remember that door, really? Or are you just nodding?
Yes, I remember the door. It was where Mom and Dad lived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we started ministry, Mom and Dad in Toronto, there's a lot of times we just had to drive up there on Monday morning just to drop in. And just walking through that door in ministry and
comfort.
Things, it was just comfort. It was just sometimes just like, oh, my God. And just hear my dad say, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
To know that Mom was there and there was a warmth there. My kids just loved to go there. It was like a soothing, a healing thing that happened when
it's
we
like
walked through that
door. It's like a mini vacation every week.
It was. It was like just a break to clear my head and get things on. So there's doors in your life. A lot of them mean an awful lot to you.
Yeah.
So you had any new doors?
Well, I think one of the most recent doors that was a bit intimidating and a little bit, I had a little bit of trepidation going through it, was I decided to go back to school and slowly, in a part-time fashion, finally get my post-secondary degree in poli-sci. So the first day going on campus, I was a nervous wreck. I thought, oh my gosh, what are these people going to think about this old lady coming in to sit down at class? And so I found out where my class was. I arrived like a half an hour early and kept reviewing the door number and looking at the website for my class schedule to make sure I had the right door, back and forth at least 10 times. And then once the class was emptied out, before me, I went in first to sit down so nobody could see me walking through the door because I was so nervous.
That's interesting. So we have doors that are in front of us, opportunities that you still have to walk through. You remember when we were in Barbados and we had the suite right in front of the pool there and it was all one big glass door? And when the cab guy wanted me to pay for the cab from the airport, I went to walk out because I could see my bag that had my wallet. And I walked back out to go inside and I ran right into the glass pane door. And I didn't realize they'd closed it behind us. And, I am so glad I didn't go right through it because I hit it with incredible pace. And so I was like, wow. And has anybody ever walked into a door?
I think Kennard walked through our screen door.
We had to put a little butterfly in our screen door because Kennard walked into our screen door. That was good. But it's funny there because the next day they had a guy out putting little logos of the hotel on all of the windows after that. So I'm sure I saved somebody a nasty thing.
Yeah.
But
I think probably for me the most important door that I ever walked through was when I walked through the Apostolic Church door at Elim in Peterborough for the very first time.
Yeah.
So I'd been born and raised Catholic and always believed in God and actually had faith in God. But when I walked through those doors with a new kind of newfound faith and new openness to God, I walked through those doors and my soul sang because there was a longing in my heart for an expression to worship God or find a way, because I didn't know how that could happen. But when I walked through those doors, I knew I was home. I knew that my heart and my soul had found a place where there could be an expression that I never had the language for before. And so those doors were really important to me.
So who knew? And then we get garage doors, like you
yes.
and Dylan put the door down and backed into it trying to get out of the garage. That was awesome. But anyways.
No, not today.
Anyways.
We were watching Bulldog.
And Bulldog, he's always scratching the door. Remember when he learned how to open the bathroom door when you were in it? That was always nice. But anyway, okay. Well,
right.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
Appreciate
right.
that. All right, just doors. There's a lot of doors. Next several weeks, we're going to talk about doors in along that context, new doors. Like Julie said, doors you shouldn't have gone through. How do you deal with those issues, and how do you get through doors that are open for you? And so we're going to talk about some real practical issues in life and how to deal with these opportunities and things before you. So bring some friends. Bring people who you know need to successfully navigate some of the doors and some of the experiences in their life, because it's going to be good. It's going to be good. You're going to be blessed, and you're going to enjoy it. But I have to start with the most important door. But just before I do, I just want to quickly, Sue's going to pop up a video for me. You ready, Sue? All right, thanks. Just watch.
Things I can't understand, but I still want my life to have meaning.
Hi. I don't know that I want to hear from any more experts.
If you will please let me finish. Will you please let me finish? With intensive psychotherapy, an autistic child can be treated...
The Rimland Report plainly shows that autism is not a psychological problem.
I am not familiar with the Rimland Report.
Calm down, sweetie.
It would be better if you could get her to sit calmly. You're trying to control her.
What are you talking about?
But we were told self-stimming is good. It eventually calms them.
Self-stimming? Yes, self-comforting.
Self-stimulation. Rocking, spinning, rolling on the floor, flapping...
Well, I think spinning is good. And rolling, too. Self-stimulation does seem to eventually calm the nervous system. It can be a way to compensate for not being held. And being held by another person is scary, but rolling or being held by surfaces produces the calming effect that ordinary children get from a hug.
How old's your child?
Well, I don't have children. No, I'm autistic. And I need the sensation of being hugged. Now, I've developed a machine that I get into and hugs me, and I'm different afterwards. I'm more social. Well, I didn't speak until I was 4. Now I have a BA and a master's, and I'm studying for my doctorate.
How did you learn to speak?
Please, don't shout.
Most autistic people are very sensitive to sounds and colors. Overstimulation hurts. You know, people talking too much at once, you know, can cause us to panic.
How did you get cured?
Well, I'm not cured. I'll always be autistic. My mother refused to believe that I wouldn't speak. And when I learned to speak, she made me go to school. And in school and at home, manners and rules were really important. They were pounded into me. I was lucky. All these things worked for me. Everyone worked hard to make sure that I was engaged. And they knew I was different, but not less. And I had a gift. I could see the world in a new way. I could see details that other people were blind to. My mother pushed me to become self-sufficient. I worked summers at my aunt's ranch. I went to boarding school and college. Those things were uncomfortable for me at first, but they helped me to open doors to new worlds.
Excuse me, please, but we want to hear everything.
Yes, please.
Special night. You see the world in ways that others can't.
Miss Grandin, this is a masterpiece.
The door opened and I went through it.
Yes, you did. And I held it.
I'm Temple Grandin.
Actually, you've seen that movie already. You know, wow, I've never seen the movie before. I was upstairs watching football yesterday. Praise Jesus. And Cheryl was downstairs watching a movie. I came down just to get some fluid and refurbish myself for the next game. When I came down right when this scene came up, and I'd never seen it before. And I thought, that's really amazing. I just love when she said, I see a door, and I go through it. There was just somebody who was helped by a family and understood her uniqueness, and yet there were many opportunities in life. But she saw a door, she saw an opportunity, and she chose to push through it. And I said, that is so amazing. How many of us realize that we've all got the same thing? Every day in your life, you're presented with so many doors, and it's really whether you've got the courage and the faith to move through them, because God says, I open doors that no one can shut. And God's opening doors for you every day. God is committed to your blessing, to your success, to your fruitfulness. He's created you for greatness. He really has. But that really demands us to partner with him. And when the doors open, we've got to be courageous. We've got to recognize them, and we've got to go through them. So we're going to be talking about doors. And today I just quickly want to talk to you about the most important door that you need to navigate. So I want you to go to John chapter 10. Say John chapter 10. All right, we're going to read verses 1 to 10, 24 to 25, and 30. Now, Jesus starts using illustrations or metaphors, and he starts trying to speak to them. And the Jewish people should have understood all of these things, because often in the Old Testament, I mean, God spoke to them, said he was the shepherd. He spoke to them, he said, there is a door that the righteous will go through. And he talked often about doors, and he talked often about being the shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything or want anything. So they should have known this. So Jesus was speaking to them, and on purpose in this whole chapter, Jesus is revealing to them that I am the door, I am God, I am the way that you enter into every blessing of life. You enter into your purpose, you enter into a relationship with your Heavenly Father. So it's an incredible, bold claim that a man, you see, because they saw a man, they saw just a human being, somebody just like me or just like you, who was standing there talking and teaching, but then a human being laid claim to being divine. A human being laid claim to being, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the access point to God your Father. What an incredible claim. And you see, Jesus came outside of the boat. He came outside of the process that they thought. They had an understanding or a mindset as how it should happen. And Jesus kind of came outside from a different context of what they were expecting. But here's Jesus in John chapter 10 speaking to them. In verse 1, he said, most assuredly, he said, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now Jesus used this illustration, now listen, but they did not understand. They didn't understand. They went, what? You ever heard a cockeyed metaphor? And went, what? You know, who's the fellow who, environmental guy? Gore, is it Gore, Al Gore? Al Gore once said, he said a leopard can't change its stripes. Well, you know it's spots, but he said stripes. And that's a strange metaphor, isn't it? Because you're like, well, that's strange. You know, so it's almost like these folks were saying, that was strange. Like, what are you saying? Because they didn't understand. He tried to, in a plain way, he tried to appeal to scriptures that they should understand. And he tried to appeal to something that was every day. They understood sheep. See, people had sheep. And sometimes when you had sheep, you may have a different career, but you had sheep. A shepherd would come down your street, and if he was the shepherd of your sheep, he would whistle or he would call, and the sheep knew his voice, and they would go follow him. So you would have kind of like the community shepherd who would take your sheep out to graze that day. So they all knew who he was. So he's talking about things that they should have understood. I mean, he's talking about the great shepherd. He's talking about things they said, okay, all right, you guys don't get that. All right. So then Jesus said, now verse 7, he said, okay, then Jesus said to them again, he said, now most assuredly. Now he's saying, really, really, truly, and I'm going to make this as clear as I possibly can. Are you ready? All right, I want to make this clear to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door. But he used the I am. And in using the I am, he used the claim of divinity. I am the door. Literally, I'm the Messiah. I am the access point to all the purposes of your Heavenly Father. I'm the fulfillment of Scripture. And so he uses this. He says, I'm trying to make this really clear to you. I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. Any other claim to this is false. All the others are false. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. He said, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I like the message paraphrase. He says, you're going to have it. It's going to be wilder than anything you could ever dream. Abundantly can be such kind of a a word we don't really use every day, abundantly, but abundantly means like off the chart, just super duper. I mean, super califragilistic. I mean, over the top, man, out of this world, more than you could ever dream or imagine. I'm going to give you life to the fullest until it overflows. Down verse 24 says, then the Jews surrounded him and said, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And I mean, he's trying to make this as clear as he possibly can. He said, I'm telling you most assuredly, I'm trying to lay this out as best as I ever could. And verse 25, Jesus answered him, I told you. I mean, I've told you and you don't believe. And he said, I've done miracles. I've done these signs and wonders. I've expressed the kingdom. I don't know what else to do for you. And then down in verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. He wanted to make it very, very clear that I am who I said I am. But we want to focus today on that clear declaration and clear statement that Jesus said, I am the door. And I love that it's made as simple as that. I am the door. Now, I wanted to show you this sheepfold because how many of you know use a sheepfold pretty regular? So for us, in our context, we need it contextualized because they might have understood it, but we don't. And we can skim right past that and go, yeah, whatever that was about, you know. But you see, in a sheepfold, there is no door. There's no fence. There's no gate. In a sheepfold, there is one opening. And often around those sheepfolds, they'll put thorns and thistles around the top because they'll go, they'll collect the sheep. And then when they want, you know, to have a little snooze in the afternoon, they'll take the sheep into the fold. And then they place themselves at the opening. So the shepherd is the door. And so he says, I am the door. He says, if you're going to get in, if you're going to enjoy that, if you're going to be cared for and nurtured and safe, and you're going to experience this coming in and going out, experience pasture and experience abundance of life, you have to have a living relationship with the door. He's not a door. He's a person. But you see, when you have a relationship with him as the door, he's the one who places himself there. He's the one by which you have access to every blessing in life. And he's not a door. He's not one of the ways. He said, I am the door. There are no other doors. Anyone else who claims to be a door, anyone who tries to come over the wall, they are all thieves and robbers. And every single other philosophy, every other way is only going to cause you pain, doom, and gloom, and it will not satisfy you. But Jesus said, I am the door, and I am the door that causes blessing and satisfaction. Can I get a glory to Jesus? Oh, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. All right, so nothing gets past him. Nothing scares him. Nothing freaks him out. I mean, if we could go to the shepherd, if we could be there, if you could place yourself in that context, and there was a shepherd there with sheep around, some in, some out, just grazing around, and there he was, you know, doing a carving or something, and we could walk up and we say, so where's the door? He'd say, I'm the door. There's never a door. I'm the door. This doesn't need a door because I'm the door. The sheep know that I'm the door, and the sheep know how to come and have access. And so you take care of these sheep. I do. I find them good pasture. I make sure they're secure. And then he says, now there's times of year. I mean, what about, you know, those thorns and thistles and everything around the top? He says, well, at night, if I'm snoozing, having a nap, he says, I got those thistles there to kind of, you know, resist and reject those wild beasts from trying to get in. And then he might open up his shirt and might pull back and say, see right there, there was one time a fox came and tried to do it. He bit me trying to get through, but he can't get through me. And this other over here back on my back says, that was a lion. I mean, I came and there was a lion trying to get over. I went, got him, took my stick, beat him. And that was a lion tried to get me. And there was another time a bear tried to get in here. But I tell you, that was right here on my leg. Oh, I had to tangle with him, but I'll tell you, I got him too. And you know that your shepherd, the shepherd would manifest. And I've had some battles. I've been through some things. But you know what? The sheep are always safe. The sheep are always secure. Because I am the door. And they are safe and secure when I'm on the job. And nothing can hinder them. They don't have to worry about a thing. They can be at total rest and total peace. Because I am the door. And nothing will harm them. They'll always be protected. Amen. You know, our Jesus, our great shepherd, has a few scars. He's got a few wounds. And it says, by those wounds, we are healed. It says, by those wounds speak for us. And then those wounds speak about our healing. Can you say amen? All right, just a couple observations really quick. Are you ready? Observation number one, Jesus has an exclusive claim. Say exclusive. It's exclusive. You can only get it here, brothers and sisters. It's here today. It's offered to you right now, right now, right now. And you know what? It's not free, but it doesn't cost you anything. It cost God an incredible supreme amount, but he was willing to endure what he went through because he wants you to have a relationship with the Father. But number one, it's an exclusive claim. I am the door. There is no other. You're either in or you're out. You can't use another door to get where Jesus alone can take you. So Jesus is it. It is totally exclusive. Jesus is the one and the only way to experience the goodness of God. That's pretty heavy. That's a pretty exclusive claim. Now, a lot of other people say, want to keep my options open. There are not other options. If you want options, buy a Ford. But there's no options when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's Jesus and he alone who's the one that gets you through. Here, you ready? It's a glorious offer. Number two. Oh, sorry. There's a door. That's a pretty neat door. How many know what that door is? You know what that door is? Who knows what the door is? It's the Parliament. It's the Parliament of Canada. Those are the doors to the Parliament of Canada. And you know what? If you want to get into the Parliament of Canada, you have to use those doors. Those are the doors. I mean, I was going to put up the White House, but we're Canadians, right? So, you know, we don't want to do that. But you know, if I put the White House up, there's a door. And you know what? If you're going to get access, you got to go through that door. There's security. There's a lot of, you got to get permission to go through those doors. But you know what? Jesus exclusively is the door. And here's some good news for you. Number two is there's a glorious offer. If anyone enters, it says, if anyone enters by me. Anyone. I love this. Aren't you glad? It's like it's not to the first five people who call right now with seven box tops of Fruit Loops. You know, it's not some crazy offer that's it's limited time. You know, it's only for the next half hour. Call in now, and not only will we give you one, but we'll give you two. Hallelujah. You know, it's a glorious offer, and it's to anyone. He said, if anyone enters by me, whoever you are, wherever you've been, I mean, whatever you've done, it don't matter. It says you're included in the offer. Jesus said, I am the door, and anyone can enter in. Woo! Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I don't know about you, but that's good. I heard that before. Well, if you heard that before and it still don't blow you up, man, you don't get it. It's really good. I tell you, the gospel, the good news blows me up every single time. Hallelujah. Number three. Thank you. Number three, there are unsurpassed benefits. I mean, there are unsurpassed benefits. Look at this. It says, if you come in, it says you are saved. It says, if you come in, you are safe. If you come in, it says that you are satisfied. You'll be saved. You get to go in and you get to come out and you get to experience life wild, beyond. If you dream about a crazy life, something that you think is off the chart, he says, I will give you life beyond what you're able to even dream. How many got wild dreams? I mean, I can dream some crazy stuff, but what an incredible benefit. Jesus says, if you come to me, if you partner up with me, I will be able to give you a life that far surpasses anything you could ever dream of. And it's real. It is the absolute real deal. That's why I wanted Julie to give a testimony. And the rest of her testimony is great. And if you look at those other testimonies online and you got testimonies, you know that. I know that without Jesus, it would not be so good for me. But I know that he's made an incredible difference in my life. You will be saved. What do I got to be saved from? It's quite simply, you got to be saved from the fall. You got to be saved from sin. It says all sinned and fell short, everybody. So we're all grouped in as that group. But here's the beauty of the gospel. Everybody's grouped in again. Whosoever, anyone who trusts him will be saved. You'll be set free. The you won't have to worry about eternity or what's going on. You will be, not might be, not there's a way open to you, but you come through the door. You are saved. That's good news. I'm telling you. Not only are you saved, but you're safe. It says you come in and you go out. You know, when you come to him, you're free from fear. You're free from worrying about things and getting freaked out about things, because perfect love drives out all fear. You know, you're in, you're out, you're going to take a walk over here, you're going to come back here, you're going to pop in again, you're going to drop out, you're going to pop in for a nap, you're going to go over here, eat a little from this pasture. You're coming in, you're going out, because there is no fear. If there's fear, you're in, you're hiding in the corner going, man, bad stuff happens to people. I'll tell you, it's bad stuff happening out there. I've heard some bad stuff going on. But you know, when you're with Jesus, there might be bad stuff all around you, but you're walking in peace in your life, you're walking in freedom in your life, you're walking with confidence in your life, and people go, what is your deal? I just don't understand you. That's because you are so perfectly loved. You are so perfectly set free that you know how to walk in and out in a care, not careless, but a carefree attitude, because you know God is watching over you and everything is safe. All right, number three, I love it, says you're satisfied. You're satisfied. Aren't you glad you're satisfied? Well, you come to Jesus, you get to go to heaven. It's going to be ugly until then. You know, you come to Jesus, give your heart to him, and in this life, you're going to be miserable. Okay, you're going to fight through stuff. Everybody's going to hate you. Nobody's going to like you. And I mean, you know, can't get to do any fun stuff anymore. No, it says that you are satisfied. He says, I will give you life. I mean, the God kind of life. I'm going to pour life out on you. And it says, I'm going to do it more abundantly. You get a life beyond the life you could dream of. Do you trust? Do you absolutely actually trust that God could have more pleasing, more wonderful, more incredible dreams for you than you do? Do you trust that God, who infinitely loves you, could possibly be able to dream and have a bigger desire for your life than you do? I mean, I find that amazing because I can dream big stuff. I can expect big stuff. Now, a lot of religious people want to dumb that down. Easy now. Easy now. Don't get too excited because, you know, somebody start telling you it's all good. God loves you. You're going to walk in blessing. He's always good. I'll tell you, that's scary stuff right there because they're suffering. Hallelujah. You know, we suffer from those people and their stupid misunderstanding. You suffer from religion like Jesus did. Every time he would say, he said right here in this chapter, in this dialogue, he said, I want to give you life more abundantly. It says at the end, they conspired how to kill him. See, and their religion conspires how to kill people today who say, God is good. Yeah, not so much. I mean, you get in free, but after that, I'll tell you, you got to pick up your cross. You got to die every day and thank God I was in Christ. I was crucified in Christ, but now I am risen in Christ. I died in him. I was buried in him. I was raised in him. And now I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all rule, principality, and power. And I'm governing a life full of power and authority. Use your authority. Come on. Come on. He's not looking for servants. He's looking for sons. He's not looking for slaves. He's looking for people who can use the keys of the kingdom and loose the goodness of God in their lives. If he wanted slaves and servants, he would have created some. But he didn't. He wanted sons and daughters who walk in power and authority and enjoy the good life. Imagine the father saying, look, my son. Well, my God, you can't even provide for your son. That's a messy life. If you're a child of God, I mean, what a horrible circumstance. Well, I'm just suffering for Jesus right now. I thought he suffered for you. Yes, he did. And I mean, we got to manifest that we are sons and daughters. We are shining lights. We are beacons of hope. We are witnesses of what God can do with a life surrendered to him. All right, settle down. I know it's exciting. Did good, a little pitter-pat, a little clap, a little hey. All right, come on. Let's go to the fourth one, number four. Here it is. Number four, it demands a decision. Demands a decision. I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. But you know what? Right now, it demands a decision by you. And you got to decide that. I know a lot of you, and you've made the decision to follow Jesus. But, you know, a lot of people want to follow the door of human accomplishment. A lot of people are still, even Christians, they're still stuck on the treadmill of human accomplishment. They're still Christians trying to please God, that I'll get my breakthrough if I just do enough. I'll get my breakthrough if I just try to please him enough. You are already pleasing. He sees you through his son. In his son, you are well pleased. People add all kinds of things to the door. It's just a door. I didn't make it up. Jesus did. He said, I am the door. Yes, there's the door, but then there's this, and then there's that, and then there's this, and then there's that. And that is the cruel, cruel master of religion. But you know what? You got to decide. A lot of people, religion wants to get you back on that human accomplishment treadmill. And it's a subtle thing because you want to know. I want to do stuff to know I deserve God's love. You lucky beggar, you don't deserve God's love. He loves you anyway. Isn't that awesome? Man, makes me want to grab a corn stalk, jump over hell, and spit in the devil's eye. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. But you know what? Human accomplishment can't do it. I talk to people. I say to them, I say, you know, just for now, let's say there's a heaven and a hell. Just for now, let's say there's an eternity with God or a lost eternity. Let's just give me that. How would you gain an eternity with God? And pretty much all the time people tell me, well, I've been pretty good. You know, I believe in karma. You know, and I believe if you do unto others, you know, what you do yourself and all that. And if you're good, you'll get good. And I just believe that I've been good enough. So you're all right to just stand in the last days and come before the throne of God. And he says, you want a life with me? I do. And all right, why should you have that? Well, because I've been pretty good. I've done okay, I reckon. You know, just let me show you a few previews of my life. You know, this time I was awesome right there. I was good. Oh, I was good right there. That little old lady right there, she couldn't cross the street. That was good, eh? There are people, literally, there's so many people who tell me I'm willing to go it on my own because I don't think I'm that bad. You know, it's not about being that bad or being really, really good. It's about what are you going to do with the door? It's about are you going to use this door or not? And Jesus is the door. And you have to enter in. And entering in is the only answer. There is no other way by which man can be saved. Jesus is the name above every name. And Jesus is the door to eternal life, safety, and satisfaction. It's all found in him. So you can have the door of human accomplishment, or you can take the door of divine accomplishment, which is Jesus, and you can enter that door. And I'm telling you, I double dog dare you to do it. Because it does, and he does promise life more abundantly. All right, a couple more doors just for you here. Ready? Here they come. All right, let's make a deal. I remember Monty. Is it Monty Hall? I think some other guy now. But, I mean, I just remember watching that all the time. And you'd be, door number two, the person there had a big prize. You know, you can keep what's in this box, or you can pick one of these three doors, you know. I mean, what a risk. Oh, my God. I got these four ducks. That's awesome. Or what am I going to do? What are we doing? Everybody's screaming. Wow, the woman with the cowboy hat. She's crazy. Wow. Let's make a deal. You know, you don't know what's behind those three doors, but you know what's behind this door. Well, when you choose Jesus, he promises you. He lays it all out. It's not like choose the door and then we'll negotiate. It's 100% guaranteed abundant life. If that's not true, then we should throw this up in the air and say, do it all. But I know it's true because I know his word is true. He cannot lie. He is a good God. I know he's a good God. There's so many testimonies in this place of people healed of disease, set free of years of pain and brokenness and addiction. And they come into a relationship with God. And all those doors they went through for the wrong purpose, they get shut. And you come in and you enter in. You go in that wonderful room like Julie was talking about where you come through that door. And then there's all kinds of openings. They don't have doors on them, but those are all openings to forgiveness, to hope. And I love that door too. Whatsoever you desire. I love the door. You can have anything you ask. This is what happens when you make the first important decision about a door in your life. The first and most important decision. What you do with this door determines everything. It determines your future. It determines your present. It determines everything about you. What will you do with this door? How do you successfully navigate this door? You say yes. It says anyone who enters in. You enter in. You just come. You just say, I believe Jesus is the door. I believe that through him, I gain every desire that my eternal Father ever had for me. A life of blessing, of safety, of protection, a life of abundance, more than I could ever dream of. And I'm not afraid to throw that pitch out there, because he will honor his word above his name. And he is good to all of his children. Can I get a hallelujah? Come on, stand on your feet. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Let's pray. Everybody praying? Everybody praying right now. Just kind of bow your heads and close your eyes. Just want to talk to y'all. I don't know everybody here today, so nobody else is looking around. It's just you. It's just you and the Almighty, and the eyes of the Lord are on you and your heart, and he loves you. He really does. You know, he is the door, and there's a door right in front of you right now. I just love that little picture with Temple Grandin. I mean, a real person who's a professor right now at a university. But you know, there's a door before her she chose to walk through. Right now, very really, there's a door. His name is Jesus. Jesus is standing in front of you. His arms are wide open. He's saying, come on. Come on, enter in. Enter in. Enter in. Now, nobody's looking around, so listen, I want to talk to you. Maybe you've never entered in. Maybe you've decided, I'm just going to hang with the divine human accomplishment thing for a while. I'm doing okay, I think. Well, you know, human accomplishment, it says all have fallen short. All. He even said, all my righteousness is filthy rags, which that literally is translated menstrual cloth. It's all. I mean, he says, your righteousness. He didn't say your sin. He didn't say your sin is menstrual cloth. He said your righteousness is. See, sometimes I think we read that and we think that my sin. No, it doesn't. It says that your righteousness is filthy. Any self-effort, any place where you decide that I'm going to, through human accomplishment, achieve this relationship with God. You know, I'm so glad it's not human accomplishment, because I've never been able to do that good. I always felt I fell short. I always felt I'll never be good enough. But you know what? Jesus said, you know what? You're good enough. In fact, you are so good, you're my goodness. In fact, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, enter in. I've dealt with sin. I've dealt with all the problems. You're forgiven, you're healed, and you're free. So, you know, if you want to embrace that right now, all you got to do is say yes to Jesus. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to one, two, three. And at the count of three, if that's you and you're saying, I want to say yes to Jesus, I just want to embrace him. I want to enter through the door right now. If that's you, I'm going to count to three. And would you put your hand up? If you don't know, you're not sure, I mean, put your hand up. You can feel the pitter-patter right now in your heart. You can feel the pressure right there. That's the Holy Ghost. He loves you. So right now, I'm going to count to three. If that's you, put your hand up. You ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand right now. Raise it high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else, you can put your hand up right now. Just say, you're talking to me. You can still do it. You might have missed the three. We'll do it again. You ready? One, two, three. Right now. Thank you. Anyone else? One more time. Anyone else? Right now. Just raise your hand. All right, let me pray for you. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you. Everybody's going to pray. We're all going to pray. Aren't you glad that Jesus is your Savior? Aren't you glad that this plan is so amazing? Aren't you glad he laid it out like he did? I'm so overjoyed that the plan is his righteousness, not mine. And he did it for me. I just have to enter in. So pray this with me. Ready? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the door. I choose right now to enter in. I embrace what you did for me to set me free. So now I confess you as Lord. I confess you as my Savior. And I thank you now. My sins are forgiven. I am free and I'm healed. Now come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Witness to my spirit that I am a child of God. Do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, look up, everybody. Look up. Look way up. You know, folks have their hands up. And, you know, I want to tell you, your sins are forgiven. Never, never to be held against you again. You've got a relationship with a wonderful God who's dealt with every mountain and every obstacle. Everything you think that is objectionable to God, he's removed it. You are his child. And he's going to be with you, walk with you. You know, it's not just the one little, you know, get out of hell free card. It's now you should expect and you should put a demand on safety, protection, security, and abundant life. You should put a demand on that. You really should. Bless you. Bless you. I'm just going to ask those that are set up to minister at the altar today, if you could come, anybody who's on the altar teams, if you guys would come and gather at the front. And one of the things we do here at Impact is every Sunday, we have people here that are ready to minister to you at the altar. They're ready to pray for you. They came early today and I anointed them with oil and they have no sin in their life. I'm just kidding. But I know that they are people who have skills and abilities and they're ready to minister to you, to speak a word over your life, to minister healing into any way. And I love coming to the altar, don't you? Have you been to the altar lately? So many amazing things. I get so many testimonies from people who've been ministered to at the altar and their life's never the same. And I'm so grateful for these ministries. But I'm going to bless you. I'm going to let you go into that wonderful day. How many know what today is? It's the first Sunday of the NFL. Hallelujah. And I like that we finish a bit early. I never miss any games now. Hallelujah. How'd Georgia do yesterday, Bobby? They had a bye yesterday. Oh, sorry. Well, we love you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for so wonderfully ministering to us today. Thank you for coming through the words, through the music, through the testimony, through everything done here today, exalting yourself and showing us your goodness. I'm so grateful that we can experience you like this. Thank you for family. Thank you for friends. Thank you for all those here today. Bless everyone, I pray. Father, I command in Jesus' name that the love of the Father explode, the revelation of it grasp every single heart. Lord, your grace, Jesus, your wonderful grace, let it just ooze out of us. Let us understand it. Let us operate out of the favor of God every day. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with me. You are my partner. And thank you that you will manifest in and through me the kingdom every step of the way. So I bless this house. I bless everyone in it. I command your richest blessing on them now in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen.